Rob and Matt with you here again, Footy Roundup, Episode 5. Matt, how's it going?
Pretty good, Rob. How are you?
Good. Last week, we covered the last of the group phase of our preview for the World Cup. Quick recap of what our selections were. Matt and I were in agreement on both. In Group G, we had Germany, Portugal 1-2. Group H, we had Belgium and Russia 1-2. Matt, this week we're changing gears a little bit here. We're going in through snubs, injuries, other key topics to discuss before the tournament begins. Yep. Let's hop right into it. What jumps out at you as far as snubs?
Well, there's a number of them, a number of good players. Almost we've put together here a team of 11 of snubs, and quite frankly, they're better than quite a number of countries competing at the World Cup. We may as well start at the back, I guess. It's always hard to pick a goalie, but I guess the big one is Diego Lopez of Real Madrid, played the whole regular season for Madrid in goal. Casillas is on the bench, but Casillas is in the World Cup squad.
Now, having said that, I mean, even if he was there, he'd probably be number three anyways.
Well, I know, and yeah. Pepe Reina and David De Gea are the other two goalies on the Spain squad. So it's a tough one, but when it comes to goalies, there aren't too many options.
Yeah, there was just a wealth of options for the Spanish side. I think whoever they didn't choose would have ultimately been our selection.
Absolutely.
Here. What about on the defensive end?
I think our thing here is that they're actually mostly wing backs. We couldn't really seem to come across a center back who was really, you know, you could be classified as a snub. Our team for defense for the snubs is Gregory Vanderbilt of Holland, Ashley Cole of England, Gael Clichy of France, and Cristian Maggio of Italy. You know, Clichy and Cole are both left backs. Vanderbilt is a right back. Maggio plays a little right back, center back.
Yeah, he kind of moves around.
Yeah, he does. For the record, I don't think Ashley Cole, he's a snub in the sense of it, but I'm quite okay as an England guy with them taking Luke Shaw instead. But at the end of the day, 107 caps for England. So, I mean, he's got a lot of experience. But yeah, I mean, he's a very good player who isn't going to the World Cup at the end of the day.
I was
going
to ask you actually in greater detail about Ashley Cole. Right after, you know, the England squad was named, he kind of retired.
Yeah, he did.
What was the gist of all that? Sour grapes? Do you see him coming back, or is that fully it for him?
That's it. I don't see a reason for him to come back. I mean, I can't believe he has 107 caps. I mean, I think he's a very good left back. I do think he's a little overrated personally. But I mean, you know, England are going with the youth movement moving forward here, and eliminating Ashley Cole was just one step closer. You know, we've already got rid of the Rio Ferdinands and John Terrys, so Cole's another former guy who's now, you know, retired basically from international football.
I think the youth movement makes England potentially a little bit more dangerous than they have been in the past. I think there's more of a speed and unpredictability factor to them, which sometimes can be bad, but I think in their case may be good because it freshens up the squad a little bit.
Right, and there's also Leighton Baines at left back too. So, and even when Cole's been playing internationally the last couple of years, he's been playing behind Leighton Baines for the most part. So, again, he's a snub in the sense of the word, but in some capacity, it's not a surprise either.
Snub more by name than anything else.
Yeah, essentially. That's exactly it.
So, Maddie, in our midfield that we went through, we have Samir Nasri, also another France and Man City player, ironically enough. Danny from Portugal and Zenit. Isco, Real Madrid and Spain. Kaká, Milan and Brazil. I think we can agree that Kaká is kind of more of a sentimental choice here, like Ashley Cole.
Yeah, definitely.
I know myself, I was a little bit more pro naming Kaká on the squad kind of out of respect and the tournament being in Brazil, and I think he can still have an impact as a sub. But much like the Diego Lopez quote-unquote snub, there's just such a wealth of options in the Brazilian squad there.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, like you said, Kaká would have just been a name recognition thing. I'm not surprised. I never really even considered him being picked for the World Cup squad. But I guess, you know, he is a snub in some capacity because of how much he's done. 87 international caps, 29 goals. The other big one here, I guess, is Isco, the Real Madrid midfielder.
That one, I had him as one of my guys to watch. I mean, there's so many options in Spain, too.
But, you know, when you got Xavi Alonso, Xavi, Iniesta, Fabregas, Juan Mata, the list goes, David Silva, the list goes on and on.
Busquets. Yeah.
And, you know, Isco is still very young. He's only played two times for Spain. So even if he was selected, I'm not sure if he'd really get much playing time ahead of the guys we just mentioned. But, you know, he's got a really bright future, and that Spanish team is kind of coming towards its end to some extent. You know, three major trophies.
At least
trophies
with that group of players.
Yeah, like the Xavis and the Yeses, they're getting a little up there. But so Isco's got a bright future, and him being left of the World Cup is disappointing, but, you know, he'll be playing in many during his career.
I know we were both surprised, and, I mean, not necessarily disappointed because, you know, Portugal is not our nation or anything, but looking at the Portuguese roster, we had mentioned that there wasn't much of an attacking midfield creative influence. Mm-hmm. The Danny lack of selection, your thoughts on that one?
This is the biggest snub to me, maybe up there of Landon Donovan and Gregory Vanderbilt too, but the Portuguese side, as we spoke about, doesn't seem to have much creativity. and Danny would be a really good guy to have taken part and, you know, got some creativity.
Some link up play from the mid to the forward.
Exactly. So I am surprised. I mean, he's only got 26 international caps, which seems low, but I made that clear when we spoke about Portugal's group that I think he should be part of the squad. So that is the major snub to me.
I would agree. Also, the Samir Nasri one didn't really bother me at
first. No, me neither.
I mean, the France has a lot of options, but in light of the Frank Ribéry injury situation, I think Deschamps would probably like a do-over on this selection.
Perhaps, but it's also like he's like dug himself a hole now, where even if the option was there, he might not just even go anyway.
Yeah, just out of pride.
Yeah. So, he's a good player. But when I read the team, I was like, well, Nasri's not there. But it was like, well, is he really going to be missed that much? So, but yeah, he's a snub at the end of the day.
And our forwards up top, we got Landon Donovan from the States and the LA Galaxy, yeah. Carlos Tevez, Juventus, and Argentina. I don't think either of those would be a surprise to most.
No. Tevez, the Argentinian team is pretty damn good up front. You know, Aguero, Higuain,
yeah, really
Messi.
Are.
So
it's, again, just a wealth of options here.
Exactly. The Donovan one is a big one, though. Where are the U.S. going to get their scoring from? He's got 57 international goals in 156 games. That was a tough one for me to see, because I think Donovan deserves to be there. But obviously, Jurgen Klinsmann just didn't feel that way.
It might be similar to what England was thinking. Maybe a little bit of a youth movement and some fresh blood to liven things up.
The USA doesn't have that youth, though.
Not to the same level as England.
And also, just for the record, I know people have been talking about it online and, you know, through the media. For the record, Francesco Totti is my favorite player of all time, but he is not a snub for the World Cup. He retired in 2006. And yes, he's played well, you know, for Roma the last couple of years. And he said, if they asked me, I'd do it. But he never came on international retirement. He's not a snub. Trust me, probably not too many people more than me would love to see Totti at another World Cup, but he's not a snub.
I think he went out on top anyways.
Well,
you can't ask for much
exactly.
more than
that. Winning the World Cup doesn't get better than that.
So, Matt, the other hot topic that many are discussing, and I've told you a few times off air, the injury situation we've seen heading into this tournament is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't recall seeing things like this in previous tournaments. It seems almost every friendly, it's fractured tibia, you know, ruptured hamstring, and we're not talking like, you know, nobody players here. We're talking key figures. Luis Montes scored a beautiful goal for Mexico in their recent friendly, went down, which is just a huge loss for that side. A little bit earlier, you know, Kevin Strootman,
yep.
Rafael van der Vaart from the Netherlands, gone. For my own personal sake, the Croatian side, we don't have the best depth in the world, so losing an Ivan Strinic, who's probably going to start at left back, he's not as well known of a player, but he's very solid in his own right. Nico Kranjčar, who, you know, many English fans are familiar with from his days at Tottenham and Portsmouth,
sir,
is a bad loss for our depth in midfield. And probably the biggest one that just came out recently has been confirmed, Radamel Falcao. How impactful is that going to be for Colombia?
Well, when we spoke about the Colombian, you know, their chances in their group, we said that how far they go will come down to basically Falcao, and him not being there is just going to make them a lot tougher. It's going to make it a lot tougher for them to really get far in this World Cup.
It's a massive loss. I still see them edging out of their group. I just think,
yeah, I do too.
You know, South American advantage and their competition not being so strong, but can we really see them getting past the round of 16 Italy, Uruguay, or England against them?
Not anymore, no. I think this pretty much puts the coffin in Colombia to get, you know, into the quarterfinals, which they probably would have been a good bet for if Falcao was playing. That's how big of a valuable player he is. Like you said, the injuries are crazy. Benteke up front for Belgium would have been a really good player for them.
Ricardo Montolivo went down for Italy as well.
Yeah, that's another one. Bad Studer for Germany. Lars Bender, another guy. Gundogan for Germany. And Germany are still probably the best squad.
On paper, regardless.
On paper, right? So that shows you how good the German team is. I think Kevin Strootman is still the biggest loss outside of Falcao because of what he would give for the Dutch side.
Fantastic player.
You know, losing Van der Vaart isn't exactly an ideal situation for them either.
Then there's the stars that are there, but nowhere near 100%. Luis Suarez, Cristiano Ronaldo. Recently, I just mentioned regarding Nasri, Frank Ribery,
yep,
nursing the bad back issue.
Diego Costa.
Yeah, Diego Costa. I think that Spain can get by without a traditional number nine. It doesn't even, I almost don't even think it matters who plays there. Like, they just have so many options.
Well, they still got Vila and David Torres and
Even Cesc Fabregas has played up there at some level of effectiveness in his own right as well. But it's disappointing to see the number of star players either not present or just not up to full fitness. I think it's going to be not great for the tournament overall.
Yeah, it's never good. But I think some of them you might not notice so much that they're not there. Like Van der Vaart, good player. Holland could use him, but I don't think the general fan will miss him too much. Same with like Montolivo. Benteke, you know, I think Belgium would love to have him there. Falcao is obviously the major one here, along with Strootman. And, you know, like you said about guys who are still recovering, Jack Wilshere and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for England are, you know, might now miss games at the World Cup, and Sami Khedira as well of Germany. So there are some big, big names that are either already confirmed out or, you know, might have to miss a couple of games at some point in the World Cup.
Does any of these omissions due to injury change your perspective or predictions? For me, not really. Like, I think it makes things a little bit harder for some of the teams that we favored, like a Colombia, for example. But, I mean, the beauty of the sport and sport in general is it's always a next man up mentality, and somebody going down is somebody else's opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Frank Ribéry is a big loss for France if he doesn't play or if, you know, if he misses games, but because of their group they're in, they should still be okay. So, you know, for the most part, it's a shame, but I guess in the hindsight, you know, you got to deal with what you have, right?
Yeah. So what about young players to watch now that we're talking about the potential for a door being open for other players? Matty, we were discussing last week, kind of we were trying to narrow down, like, our, as hard as it was, to our three youngsters under 23 to watch. So why don't you give me your three guys and your rationale for choosing them?
All right, so the three guys I have are Jordan Shaqiri of Switzerland, who plays his club football at Bayern Munich. I have Koke of Spain, who plays at Atletico Madrid. And I also have James Rodriguez of Colombia, who plays his football at Monaco. Koke has basically leaped on the scene this year. He's become, you know, he was part of the driving force that won Atletico the league title, took them to Champions League final. He's only played seven times for his country, and we did mention the depth that the Spanish team has, but he's young, he's only 22. I expect him to get a good chunk of playing time, and he's a guy to look out for in the tournament. Shaqiri plays at Bayern Munich, as I mentioned. He has 8 goals in 32 games. He's also 22 years old, so he's got a good chunk of international experience, which for the Swiss side, with the group they're in, where they got a really good chance to get out, I think he's going to be a major player for them. And he's kind of getting the recognition. I mean, he plays at Bayern Munich, which is already one of the biggest clubs in the world, Rob. But also at the same time, you know, other teams are already looking to see if they can pry him away from Germany. My last guy, as I mentioned, was James Rodriguez. 4 goals in 21 games for his national side. And we obviously mentioned the loss of Falcao for Colombia. So Rodriguez will have to step up. He's more of a central midfielder. Does get forward. Don't expect him to find the back of the net of regularity. But he's just a great, solid central midfielder. Came from Porto. Monaco spent tens and tens and tens of millions of pounds on him because they knew he was that good. So those are my three guys, Rob.
For myself, I have Paul Pogba from France. He's a holding midfielder, plays at Juventus. Mateo Kovacic from Croatia, you knew I was going to put my guy
That's
in there.
Guy.
And Josip Dermić from Switzerland and Bayer Leverkusen. From Mateo Kovacic's perspective, he's only been capped 9 times for us. He plays for Internazionale in Italy. Everyone all over the world is clamoring to get this guy, Matt. Real Madrid was rumored to be going after Ivan Rakitic. If that falls through, their plan B is supposedly going to be Mateo Kovacic. I expect huge things from him out of this tournament. In the triple role in the central midfield with Rakitic and Modric is going to dictate what Croatia does and how far they go. I expect massive things. He really takes on players. He's very aggressive, quick, great on the ball. I think he'll have a real impact in this group. Josip Dermić from Switzerland has only 7 caps, but he's scored 3 times.
Right.
I've seen him play a number of times as well. He's got just the sheer poacher's mentality. A half chance is a goal with this man. Attacks the ball well in the air. I expect him to get some good minutes. He may even start for the Swiss side. It's funny that you also took a Swiss player.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I guess it shows you how good we think Switzerland will be.
I think they're growing as a nation as
they
well.
They are. I mean, they're a good team already, and like we've already favored them to get out the group. But they're obviously young, too, so it shows you the youth they have in that country.
And the third one I had was, as I mentioned, Paul Pogba from France. And you're familiar with his game as well, too.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic holding central player for Juventus. He can dictate the play well in his own right. He's been capped 9 times, 2 goals from his more reserved midfield spot, which is good production thus far. I think if France has an impact in this tournament, Pogba's going to have to play well. So those are my selections.
Also, a little bit of trivia here for Paul Pogba, but his former club is actually Manchester United. Played a couple of games and United were like, and Juve swooped in and stole him, and he's become one of the better young players in the world right now.
So even some of the best clubs in the world miss once in a while.
Yes, they do.
So how about the golden boot situation, Matt? I'm thinking, to me, Neymar has to be in strong consideration here with the tournament being at home.
Yeah.
You think Brazil is going to score quite a few goals. I wouldn't say their group is easy, but their group is manageable. It's probably a mid-level difficulty group in this tournament. Gonzalo Higuain, I think, can really make an impact for Argentina as well. I was torn between him and Sergio Aguero. I don't really know who's going to feature, to be honest. Have you heard anything about that?
Not either way if one of them's going to be featured over the other. I think it'll end up being one of those situations where they end up scoring 3 goals each and not one of them scores 6 and the other scores 1 kind of thing. I think
They're going to mix and match almost based on matchups?
Yeah, and they're two good players, so I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, the wealth of goals up front will be split more evenly than you would for other countries where it'd be one focus.
I also expect Thomas Müller to be in strong contention. I know we agree on this one.
Yeah, we both have him on our list.
He won he shared the Golden Boot, I should say, at the last tournament, which is pretty impressive considering he doesn't even really play a full and out number 9 role for his country.
Müller's really weird. Like, it's some people say he's a right midfielder, other people say he's a 10.
Some say he's a central attacking.
Central attacking. Like, he doesn't really have a defined role, but all I know is he's damn good at it.
And he scores
whatever
goals.
He does. I mean, he just scores goals. He has 17 goals in 48 games for Germany, which kind of seems a little low, but don't get us wrong. I mean, he is a legit threat for Golden Boot.
And his arrow's trending upward, too. There's no
absolutely
question.
He's still young, you know, mid-20s. He's got a long, long, long career ahead of him still. And obviously, he has the experience of playing with Miroslav Klose, who is, you know, looking to become the World Cup's all-time leading goal scorer.
Which I personally think he will.
Yeah, he only needs one goal to tie it and, you know, two to take the sole-out lead on that. So, you know, and Germany, they kind of do lack a good striker up front in a sense, because they don't have
the traditional talisman,
closer, that big guy you chuck on for headers and stuff, and Müller is kind of like all over the place in some capacity, so you know they kind of don't have like a Wayne Rooney or a Neymar or a, you know, Luis Suarez, Edison Cavani kind of guy. But Müller is 100% a threat. He's actually my number one pick for the Golden Boot.
So in addition to Müller, Neymar, and Higuain that I named, the other one I have jotted down here is Luis Suarez.
And I have his teammate, Edison Cavani.
If healthy, I really think that, you know, if Uruguay is going to make an impact in this tournament, Luis Suarez is going to be on top form for them. With his injury situation, I'd say there's more than a little bit of an asterisk beside his name there.
Yeah.
But I do think the potential is there, depending on his health. I think Cavani, that you just mentioned, is a solid choice because someone's going to have to pick up the attacking pieces, of course.
Yeah,
but Suarez's form at Liverpool was just unbelievable. I really thought he had a good chance to carry it over, and health permitting, he may yet as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the reason I picked Cavani, is because of his health. Suarez's health, that is, you know, if he has to miss a couple of games, then obviously he's not in contention for Golden Boot, whereas someone like Cavani with Uruguay, who will look to go deep in this tournament, I think he's got a real shot at it. And Cavani's a natural goal scorer. I mean, the guy just scores goals for fun at PSG. He scores goals for fun for his country as well. 21 goals in 62 games. So there's one thing with this Uruguay squad, they have Diego Forlan too, is that scoring goals is far from going to be their problem.
What about dark horses in this tournament, Matt? Team-wise, I actually believe that both of our nations have the potential, should things fall right and they catch some teams off guard, to cause a little bit of havoc in this tournament.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think England are kind of like under the radar this year for once, which is actually quite a nice pleasant change. And I actually have England going to the quarterfinals this year, which would, you know, for England would be a pretty good result. They're a dark horse in some capacity, but you know, with how, since, you know, the Premier League is arguably the best league in the world, there's always the attention. As for Croatia, yeah, I mean, I've really picked them to get out of the group like you have, and they got a shot in the round of 16 to make it through to the quarter. So, you know, the England, Croatia, they're good teams. I wouldn't say they're necessarily dark horses to win the whole tournament.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention too. What is your definition of a dark horse? I think to me, you have to specify dark horse to win and a general dark horse. To me, a general dark horse is a team that has quality, and it's not necessarily that they're going to surprise or catch another team off guard, but that they'd go further maybe than the average pundit would predict, which is why I think Croatia, and strangely enough, after being much hyped at most tournaments, I think England fits into this as well.
Yeah, to me, a dark horse is a team who can actually win it. Who's just under the radar.
If that's the case, I would say Belgium then.
Yeah, and when we get to our predictions, everyone's going to see where I have Belgium this year. But, you know, for example, I think if Falcao was healthy for Colombia, you could argue they are in some capacity a dark horse to win the World Cup.
To win?
To some extent. Because of how good that guy is.
He's
and
a
the
huge
rest
impact
of their team
for sure.
is good. You know, you know, a team like Chile could be a dark horse to make it to the quarters. So could, you know, Bosnia could be another example of a team like that.
For sure. That, I guess we just differ on what we think dark horses are.
To an extent. I think it's a team who can win. So, I mean, you know, if we look, like, you know, logically, the teams who are favorite to win, you know, Brazil, Argentina, Spain, Uruguay were probably in that group as well. Another country, say like Holland, could in a way be a dark horse because they wouldn't be one of the top 5-6 countries who are favored.
When you look at who ends up winning, it's always one of 5 or 6 teams at the end of the day anyways. So anyone outside of them, I guess, which would be why my argument would be dark horses are someone who could go further and cause, like, I think Croatia was a dark horse in World Cup 98 when they finished third and lost a nail biter to France. It's just a perspective. Neither's right or wrong, but it's interesting to debate nonetheless. What about your all-star starting 11, Matt? We both went through. We kind of had our own list here. There's some similarities between our teams. Why don't you walk me through your team before I go through mine?
All right. So, well, I know for a fact we have the same goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We have Thibaut Courtois, technically of Chelsea, but he's on loan at Atletico. Who knows if he's going to be playing where next year if Chelsea will take him back. So my defense, Rob, I have Sergio Ramos of Spain, Diego Godin of Uruguay, Matt Thomas of Germany, and Thiago Silva of Brazil. We were using a basic 4-4-2 formation here. So I have Ramos at right back, Godin and Hummels at center back, and Thiago Silva on the left. The Godin-Hummels center back pairing, I can't in my head come up with any better central defensive pairing.
Well, we did share. I also had Silva and Ramos, but I opted to go with Philipp Lahm of Germany.
Yeah, it's always a great pick.
And Vincent Kompany, the solid leader at the back for Belgium.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with any
of
these
picks
players.
Are right,
and like we
honest.
Mentioned in previous installments, a lot of these all-star teams are based on like who we fancy to go forward as well.
Right.
So that, there might be some variation between us for those reasons. In midfield, I went with Eden Hazard of Belgium, Thomas Müller of Germany, Luka Modric of Croatia, and Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal. Ronaldo and Modric both just won Champions League, both in fantastic form, although Ronaldo does have his injury concerns. Matt, I put Modric on there because I fully expect Croatia to get to the round of 16, and then, as you mentioned previously, after that it's kind of a crapshoot. They could draw Chile, they could draw Spain or Holland. I think they'd be a coin flip for sure against Chile and Holland.
Yeah,
they'd be a dog against Spain, but they did play Spain in the Euro 2012, and it took an 88th-minute goal from Spain that most casual observers noticed was clearly offside for Croatia to lose that contest. So from a matchup perspective...
You still bitter, Rob?
A little bit. Like, that was a good Croatian squad that went out. But from a matchup perspective, which I think I would argue has a lot to do with results in sports,
right?
Spanish style of football matches well for Croatia. Like, they like to play football, they like to pass it around. Croatia can sit back a little bit, hit them on the counter when they intercept the tiki-taka play and the short little metronome passes, and Spain doesn't tend to blow any teams out as good as they are too.
They always kind of win by a goal or two. There's
1-0, 2-1.
You rarely see that 6-0 pummeling they lay down. My midfield is Angel Di Maria of Argentina, Eden Hazard of Belgium, Marco Rus of Germany, and, well, Lionel Messi of Argentina. I think, you know, some of these guys, you know, it depends. Some of them you might classify as a striker. Some people say Messi's a striker. I say he's a midfielder. You know, Eden Hazard is in a similar spot. So, you know, it depends where you want to class these guys, but I guess I have those in my midfield. Just moving on to up front, obviously I have Cristiano Ronaldo, and you know, I picked Thomas Müller for the Golden Boot Award, so I guess I better have him in my best 11.
It's funny because I also have Messi, but I have him as a supporting striker, and I just couldn't find any way to leave arguably the face of the World Cup and Neymar off the squad. Yeah. I expect him to have a really strong impact for Brazil, and I expect Brazil to, I mean, obviously have a fantastic showing. I don't think anyone sees them doing anything less than the semifinals at least.
I mean, and also looking over this, like, we picked up what we think our All-Star 11s would be. We could have done this 4 times over, and they'd still
easily
be phenomenal teams. I mean, there's not a right or wrong answer for this. This is our predictions.
There is a right or wrong answer, man. Mine's right.
There's always... you know, there's never wrong or right, I guess, to some extent, even though Rob might seem to think there is. And obviously, after the tournament, we'll review it and see how many of these guys we did have right. And
it'll be definitely interesting to see how it stacks up from our original predictions once we see the results.
Yeah, of course. And a lot of the thing about the All-Star 11 that makes it kind of difficult beforehand as well is the players who get picked are the teams that go far. you know, if you don't make it out your group stage, well, you can kiss the All-Star 11 goodbye. So
yeah, no matter how good you are.
Exactly.
It doesn't have the same,
you know, unless you scored about
8 goals
in 3 games, then, well, you shouldn't be going home at that point either. But that's the only way you can make it. So it comes down to how far your team can go. So I would, quarterfinals on is probably where these players will come from.
Yeah, that would be, I think, both of our expectations for the majority of the players selected. The last point, topic
the
of discussion.
The most important point, if you will.
The most anticipated is our final four predictions. Matt, I imagine we're going to have at least some similarities here. So let's just cut the buildup and just get right to the chase here. What does your semifinals look like?
My semifinals are Germany and Brazil on one side, and I have Belgium and Spain on the other. I said how good I think Belgium are going to be, and I'm going to take it one step further, Rob. I have them knocking out the defending champions in the semis to move on to the final, where they will play Germany. I think Germany are going to knock off Brazilians as well. So two upsets, I guess, if you will, in the semis to some extent. But that is my final, is Germany versus Belgium. We'll leave the picks until Rob has made his semifinal picks as well.
I am in agreement with you on the one side. I also have Brazil going to the semifinals against Germany. I don't agree with Germany
making it through. Yeah, Germany. I think Germany are just better than Brazil. Brazil will be under the pressure to make it through, and I just think Germany all around are just a better team than Brazil.
I think the home field will be enough for Brazil to get past Germany. It's going to be difficult, but I think that they have the quality, and the home advantage is really going to help a lot. In the other semifinal, I have Uruguay versus Argentina. I went a little bit off the reservation, I guess, with the Uruguay pick. I just think Spain's time is done. Whether it's going to be Croatia who knocks them off or Uruguay who pips them, I think it's going to be a new team going through. I still expect Spain to do well, of course. I wouldn't be stunned at all if they get there, but no. I have Uruguay and Argentina, and I have Argentina getting past Uruguay to make an all-South American final.
That would be one heck of a final if that was to come to fruition. So let's get right to the point, Rob. Who is your World Cup winner?
I've said it since day one. I would be hard-pressed not to see Brazil winning this tournament. I think Brazil edges Argentina in the finals, I'll say, by 2-1 score.
All right. I have Germany beating Belgium in the final. I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-1 win for Germany. And as an English boy, it pains me a little to make that prediction. But at the end of the day, I see how good this German squad are. And, you know, I think this is the final day year where they get back to being world champions again.
So you actually think that the, I guess, curse of a non-European winner in South America is going to be lifted by Germany this year?
I do. I think Germany just all around are the best team on paper, and I think they're going to prove to be the best team in the tournament. Brazil are going to definitely be a great bet, and anyone who bets Brazil is not going to be wrong into some capacity. There are too many great teams, and it's always hard to pick a World Cup final. I've gone off the route a little by picking Belgium to make it all the way to the final.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had quarters, maybe even semis for them. But to go to the finals is certainly bold.
I just think they're that good. They're young. They're hungry. You know, in 2018, back in Europe and Russia, might get a little tougher for them. So I think, you know, overall, this Belgium team is good enough to make it that far and knock off. I have them knocking off Argentina in the quarters as well, which I guess is a pretty bold move since you have them in the final. And then beating the older version of the current version of in Spain. So that's it. Germany, World Cup winners are up.
Brazil for me. We'll see at the end of the day who's right. That wraps it up for Footy Roundup again this week. Matt and I won't be with you guys next week, but we'll join you the week after to discuss everything that takes place in the World Cup. Up until that point, we'll discuss all the games, results, anything that catches either of our eyes to that point in the tournament. This has been Footy Roundup. Thanks for listening. Rob and Matt signing off.